Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. This idea of walking like Christ may seem to us as something we strive to do. It becomes an effort until we understand it's something God does in us. And as we think about this idea of Christ in us, working through us in a powerful way, I want us to hear stories from a country where you don't expect it, maybe least expect God to work in a powerful way. And by hearing these stories, it will give you confidence for what He can do in your life every day, wherever you go. And so we're looking at the country called Iraq. Now, if you think about it, Iraq is where everything began. The book of Genesis shows there the Garden of Eden. We find there where the rivers come together, the Tower of Babel. We find the beginnings of not just civilizations, but spiritual warfare. And how do we link it to the beginnings of one of the most horrific movements of evil ever seen on planet Earth? We call it, through an acronym, ISIS. When this movement arose, I said to myself, I felt God saying to me, this is the opening of the gates of hell. Well, it kind of fits. It's the place where things begin. Well, do you know it's also a place where there are new beginnings for the kingdom that are absolutely astounding? We have with us a man who's right at the heart of the movement because his heart is sold out to God. He's living the life. So as I introduce him to you, I'm introducing to you also something you need to think about. God wants your life to be so touched. His name is Selman Hassan. And Selman, you have come to us from Iraq. And as this broadcast goes around the world, I'm asking God to use your words in your life to touch other lives in a mighty and powerful way. It's a prayer right now. And I'm asking you, the listener, to join me in this prayer as others listen. May this actually be what happens. Selman, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, sir.
So you're a unique man. If I talked about you knowing seven languages and having your PhD and being a professor in universities and all these things, that's not what makes you unique. What makes you unique is you're a man who grew up as a Muslim in the hardcore place called Iraq and other areas, and you're part of a move of God that cannot be explained in human terms. It's astounding, but it's simply this. Jesus has come into your life. Tell us how you came to know the Lord. Tell us a little bit of your story.
Yeah, right. You know, I am here not because of my degrees or because of my nationality. I'm here only because of Jesus, you know. You know that I grew up, you know, in a Muslim family, and my grandfather and father, you know, they were literally imams, which means like high priests, you know, Muslim high priests. They were teaching, you know, Islam and the Sharia law, you know, and the mosque, you know, where my grandfather was in Baghdad, you know, that thousands of people were coming, including those from the government. I remember very well when I was still young, you know, and that Saddam Hussein, you know, he was just young, you know, the later dictator or president of Iraq.
Your family knew Saddam in those early days.
He was just walking in the streets of Baghdad like any other one, you know, that even without bodyguard, without anything. But the amazing thing that I grew up as a Muslim, I learned the Quran by heart when I was 7 years old. You know, it is 114 chapters, you know, around 6,800 plus, you know, verses, you know, as we can say, we call it ayah, you know. My grandfather, he was...
Did you memorize the whole book?
Yes, because this is how you do it. You know, normally you do it home. My grandfather, I was his pride, putting me in his lap and asking people, you just showing them, you know, Allah, this is his, you know, little one, and ask him any question. And so so I could quote, you know, any surahs, you know, surah, which means like a chapter. We have very long surahs going up to 280 verses, and the others, the smallest one, going as little as 4 verses. So you just go and do that, you know. And I grew up, you know, in this mentality that we Muslim, we are the best of all people. Islam made us better than anybody else. We are superior. You know, everybody must be subjected, you know, either to accept Islam and believe that and proclaim that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad, his like messenger or prophet, you know, or they must die. There is no other choice. You know, everybody's an enemy, including Christians and Jews. You know, it's a lie to tell you that we have the same God, you know. It's not true. Allah is not the God of the Bible, because Allah telling you that to convert those Jews and Christians to Islam or to kill them. So if he was the same God and they were serving the same God, why then they have to be killed? But anyway, for me, it was normal. Even in a school, you know, when you go to school, you know, we have like religion, you know, lessons, you know, and you have to have them, whether you are a Muslim or a Christian or anything else. I remember as a little one that we had few Christians in our school, so they had to leave when we start, you know, with this lesson. But it is obligatory. If you don't pass the exams, you don't go further, you know that. So you learn them. You go to, you know, mosque, you know, every Friday with your father, you know, and they have feasts, so you celebrate with them. I was a gentleman. I was taught, you know, to be a gentleman, to be helpful, to be friendly. You know what we call it? The righteousness of man. I was, according to the standard of Islam, very righteous man, was doing everything right. But they also taught us something else, that Jesus did not die on the cross. Of course, so it's written in the Quran. Yeah. They taught us that, as I said, everyone who is not a Muslim is an enemy, Muslim. They use the word kafir. It's inclusive. It does not mean not believers or infidels. It means anyone who is not a Muslim. And they taught us, for example, women are cheap if they are not veiled, so you can do to them anything you want. And it's not a sin, and you will not be punished, you know? They told us, of course, that...
I just want to interrupt you. So as we think about Islam, many of us think about people we know who are very loving people, and they talk about, you know, you see the goodness of the religion. But what you're saying is, whereas the core of Christianity, Jesus died to show his love for the world. The core of Islam, others must die... to show something very evil. I'm not knocking everyone who calls on Allah. I'm saying those who call on Allah should call on Jesus, because at the core, there's something that's not right.
You are absolutely right, because, you know, for me, it is an evil thing to teach a child, you know, to hate everybody who's not a Muslim.
Yeah.
It is not right, you know, to regard everybody an enemy just because you are that.
And I'm going to interrupt you one more time. When I said these words, some Christians don't understand. I'm not saying Christians are perfect. In fact, in the West, many people say they're Christians, 70%, and many of them don't really understand Jesus. So this is the problem in the West. I'm not commending hardcore right. There are some extreme right movements that are not at all of Christ. What I'm saying is Christ is the person. You picture the Christ of the Bible. This is what we all need, this kind of love and truth-telling that leads people to salvation, to joy, to victory, and ends the wars in the world. He'll come back one day to end them. Between now and then, we need him desperately.
You are absolutely right. You know, the problem that we were not taught, for example, about the true story of Jesus Christ. You know, many things that's written in the Quran, you know, they are a reality deviating so far from the truth, you know. And I'm not going, you know, in details in the Quran. And I studied the Quran, you know, I have a doctorate degree from, you know, Mecca, you know, in the study of Quran, you know.
From Mecca, wow.
Yes, from Mecca, you know, from Umm Al Qura University. But the point is not this. The point is the teaching and the application. We were taught, for example, even to lie and to deceive and to cheat, you know, just to spread Islam. When we are weak, of course, we are your best friend. When we are strong, suddenly we start slaughtering you. It is the problem is not Muslims as people.
Because
our ministry, we are in Iraq.
Yes.
We are literally in the midst of our enemies. I mean, we don't see them as enemies, but they see us as enemies. And we are going to them and telling them.
You've told me that you have people in Chicago saying, come, you're Iraqi, come be a pastor here. And you say, no, I'm called to Iraq. And you're called out of the love of Christ, aren't you?
Because
see, we're talking about love. Love conquers.
Because this is exactly the point. The point I, let me put it very direct. I did not go to Iraq because I wanted to. I was living in, let us say, in a comfort zone like you do in America, you know that. And I was a professor, you know, I was giving my lectures, having a good salary. I have a church. We have a good ministry. We are doing everything fine. But then the love of Christ is so immense. And he just shows you the sufferance of those people in your country. You know, it is the heart of civilization, the cradle of civilization. It's where God, the Lord God, was walking with Adam, exactly down there. And you see these people being cheated, lied to, you know, deceived, and they are just killing each other and killing others, you know. And you have to go there to show them who Christ really is. Because God revealed to us who the Father is. And the Father is, God is love. Mm. But these people, they don't understand the word love. They understand this. Allah loves you only when you are fighting in jihad for his cause. And this is the problem. The problem, they associate the word love with war, with killing, with destruction. So you go and you just give them a different story. In the beginning, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. But let me go back to myself. You see, I finished my university and I studied in the beginning, you know, science, physics, you know, electronic physics at the end of it, you know. I have a bachelor degree from Mosul University, from the Valley of Nineveh. I was walking near
this. This is ancient Nineveh where Jonah was.
Exactly.
As a prophet, he was told, go speak to Nineveh. And they repented back at that time.
Yes, at that time, you know. And you know what? Many, they don't know. Those people of Nineveh, they were the first who believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am talking 75 AD, when Thomas, you know, the apostle.
I didn't know this story.
And Bartholomew, when they were going, and Bartholomew, he went back then to the other, what we call it, Asia Minor. But Thomas, he went, continued to India. So when he passed through our land, the Assyrian people, the remnant of the Assyrian Empire.
And this is what we remember, Nineveh, capital of Assyria.
Yes.
So here we are 70 years after Christ, when Jerusalem's just been destroyed, and he's going toward India. He goes through this Assyria in Nineveh, and what happens?
And they believe in him.
Wow.
So we have churches as old as 1,800 years. In the Valley of Nineveh, it is literally Iraq, all of it, you know, within 2 centuries became all a Christian. Many, they don't know that the king of Iraq, which mean at that time, not only Iraq, it was Mesopotamia belonging to Persian Empire.
I've got to interrupt you. They became Christian, fully Christian. This is, again, a story of how where something began, it can be repeated. Here, back in the Old Testament, in this very ancient days, massive repentance. The whole city turns to God and humbles themselves. It happened again after Christ.
It could happen today.
Wow.
Because it is always a Christ, you know.
I love that.
Ancient roots. That's it. You know,
and
God, he has a purpose, you know. What do you think why he gave, you know, Assyria a chance? We know that they deviated again from the ways of God and they were destroyed. But then they received the other chance. And it is when Thomas passed through our country. So they believed in Jesus Christ. And you know what? They spoke the same language. They speak until this day the same language that Jesus was speaking. Mm. International language at that time, it was the Aramaic language. So they speak until the day. They pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, in Aramaic like Jesus spoke it to his disciples.
Wow.
So I wanted to understand in this area, I was studying, but I did not understand the depth of it, you know. Then my family decided to send me to study for higher studies, you know, postgraduate studies, to be the man, you know.
Right.
I have, you know, to be like the Shaykh, the Imam, you know, following footsteps of my father, my grandfather. So I went, they sent me where? To Europe, to Germany. So I went to Germany to study, you know, and I started my studies. And I tell you one thing, everything they told me about the West was true. In my mind, then, they told me, they're evil, they are drinking, they are smoking, they are living in an evil way, look at their women, how they are dressed. And all of that, I found it in Germany.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, in my mind, you know, they were telling, the West is a Christian. But later you find out that in Germany, they did not have even 2% people who are Christian.
Right.
For you, your mind as a Muslim, you see everything
because Muslim, the religion is tied to the culture integrally, whereas Christ,
exactly,
we're separate from culture, and so the Muslim doesn't understand that. They think we Muslims are in these parts of the world, Christians are over there. That's Christianity, and they see all the lukewarm Christianity. They see all the sin and the materialism and the sexual brokenness, and they think that's what Christianity
exactly
is.
Exactly, that's what I've been taught, you know. And when I came to Germany. And I was literally, for me at that time, I was living in hell. Yeah. I was living among those kafir, those enemies who normally deserve to die. But I had to finish my study and go back. But then, and you see, this is where Christ comes. This is what I want people to really listen to, you know. You see, I was an enemy of Christ because I denied the cross.
Mm.
I never believed he died on the cross. I was the enemy of Christ because I did not respect his people, his ancient people, because the Quran taught me that the Jews are the offspring or the children of apes and pigs. I did not believe in the Bible. I regarded the Bible as corrupt, you know, it's falsified, you know, because the name of Muhammad... did not appear there, you know. I hated, you know, the Christians and the Jews, and my intention was either to convert them to Islam even by force or literally to kill them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to see then what's happened, you know. And God is great because these are the only, I show you something here, people cannot see it, the few evidence that the Lord kept from that time. You see, so while studying something on my right hand, you can see here maybe something, mm-hmm. you see, it was just small inflammation. The doctor analyzed was cancerous, so they operated and they told me it's done with, it's finished.
Okay, so on your right hand, there's something growing. The doctor says it's cancer. We cut it out. You're fine.
And then you see, that's why I have here.
I can
here
see the scar. There. Right, little
you
scar.
See, so it's finished, they said. But it did not finish there. Because cancer began spreading all around my body. I had leukemia. And my eyes, they were very weak. You know, even if you can see here, you know, I have this from the doctor. You know, I'm talking here about 1983, 1985, 1986. So my eyes getting weaker and weaker and weaker. So yes. I had very thick glasses. Mm. I could not see without. And when the attacks, you know, leukemia and cancers, skin cancer came, I was literally blind. Without my glasses, I could not see.
Literally blind.
Literally. So the doctor tried, they tried to help me, tried to treat me. You know, German doctors, they are very perfect. Mm-hmm. They try to give you the best.
Right.
But imagine I was a student in my third year studying for my postgraduate studies in computer science and engineering, hoping to be somebody. I was not married. Mm. I was far away from my family. I was without degree, without children, without nothing. And then the doctor comes and he tells you one day, I'm sorry, you know, we tried everything, but there is no improvement. You know, you have 3 to 4 months to live.
So 3 to 4 months to live. We're going to take a quick break and come right back to this story.
Life is a journey. And when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. Scripture Awakening has launched a new Bible study series called Be Next Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible Studies answer the what's next question most people ask after completing our very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next Studies are designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible. So we offer them in print, video, and digital formats. This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you the Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled Rescuing Heroes, which covers the books of Joshua through 2 Samuel. Go to ScriptureAwakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring the Be Next Rescuing Heroes booklet. Go to ScriptureAwakening.com. Be Next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're so glad you're with us. As we have a guest from the Middle East with a story from Iraq, right now we're hearing his story, his testimony, Salman Hassan. And so he's been telling us about how he came out as a strict, very well-educated Muslim into Germany. He's studying for his advanced degree, PhD, I guess, at that time. And he's in his third year, and he's dying. The doctors have this bad news. Okay. Salman, keep going.
You see, so imagine, you know, the doctor tells you that it's finished, 3-4 months to live. And for me, at that moment, I mean, my world literally crumbled. I literally died at that moment, you know, even if I was in the body, not. But for me, you know, that to bring shame upon the family, that I did not go back with a degree, to bring shame upon the family that I have no children in my age, and I was 33 years old at that time, you know, that it was devastating, you know. I don't know how to face it. And I'm far away from my family. Mm. They cannot help me, you know, that money cannot bring you everything, you know, that.
Yes.
So the doctor told me then before I left, he said, you know, we have a special treatment. We never tried it before, you know, it might kill you. So you have to sign on your responsibility if you want to have it. And I said, yes, I'm willing to sign. You know, I was just trying to hang out anything, you know. But he told me, no. Think about it and come tomorrow. And this is exactly where the creator of heaven and earth, this is exactly the Christ, you know, when he decided to show mercy to a blind sinner like me, you know. And I went away, you know, desperate, as I said. But when I went back, I went to a restaurant. I wanted to go to sit and eat, you know. Maybe I had no appetite, but not just to eat, just to keep myself busy. I used to go always there. And when I arrived there, somebody was standing there. And it was even worse for me than the news from the doctor. Somebody that I really hated. He was a student with me. I literally treated him very, very bad. I never liked him. He was not the kind of person. I'll always call him boy, you know. Der Junge in German, they say, you know. Mm-hmm. And imagine this person came running to me, grabbed me, and that's worse because he was German, which means he was a Christian in my mind. So he defiled me, and I have to go to do the ritual washing.
All kinds of washings because this Christian has touched you.
Yeah, because we are not allowed to touch Christian. Yes. You know, they are not allowed to touch us. And he told me, let me pray for you. I mean, for me, it was like a shock. What? This infidel, this kafir, this enemy of Allah, you know, want to pray for me? And I was in anger, very angry. In anger, I shouted, why? And he just told me, because God told me so. He just said it like, and for me, it was the greatest blasphemy ever. What? This man, this kafir, enemy of God, and man telling me that God spoke to him? Do you know that Allah never spoke to Muhammad? Hmm. In the Quran, Muhammad always claimed that an angel came to him and brought him some news from Allah, you know. Yes. And this man,
to the Muslim, God is at a distance.
Of course, you are not allowed to talk.
He's to be feared, but not to be loved.
That's it.
And here you're hearing a man say, God spoke to me personally. Very offensive to the Muslim.
And so I wanted to go, but he did not let me go. And today, I am so glad that he was so stubborn, he did not let me go. And just to have my peace, he said, pray. I literally snapped at him, and he began praying. And for me, you know, I mean, he was literally bubbling. He was not praying. He started, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I did not know the meaning of the word hallelujah at that time, you see. And then he was just saying things, Father in heaven. I did not know Father in heaven because we don't believe in Father in heaven. It's the greatest blasphemy.
Yeah, God is, you can't call him Father.
No, you cannot. If you call him Father, you will die.
Yeah.
He's lam yalid wa lam yulad, which means he's not born and did not have any children or sons, you know. So I was literally, I wanted just to go. And so when he finished, I literally looked at him with anger, you know, and I just turned around and went. And I was even more desperate, you know, more angry, just wanted to go back home, you know. And I went home. That night I slept, and I used to sleep naked because the skin was sticking to the sheet. So I have different sheet every day, you know. So when I woke up in the morning looking for my glasses, usual, those who wear glasses, they know it. I cannot see without them. Right. So I was just looking for my glass, but it was not there. Yeah. I put it on the night table, but it was not there, you know. So, you know, as a reflex, you open your eyes, and then I saw that the tumor was not here. But I did not realize then that I could see without my glasses. You see, my brain was occupied with what happened here to my left hand.
Right.
I jumped out of bed and ran to the bathroom, and I stood before a mirror. I had a big mirror to watch how far the tumor was spreading. And then there was a different man standing there. There was absolutely nothing. Then I realized I could see without the glasses. Mm-hmm. And in my head, there was this voice. It was ringing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I start jumping and shouting, hallelujah. You know?
In other words, the Spirit of God was leading you to shout hallelujah, the word you didn't understand yet.
I did not.
As you saw, you were fully healed. That's amazing.
And that was the beginning, you know, of the work of God in my life, you know. For me, it was this hallelujah. I know it was not Allah. I know it was the God of that man, you know, who I hated, you know.
Yeah, because praise ye Yahweh. Yahweh is a covenant God of love, and that's not Allah. This is like Paul, who was blind, and God humbled him with that blindness, as he did with your sickness, until he was ready, and then wham!
And you know, this is exactly what happened. And there is something changed in my heart, you know. Shouting hallelujah, thinking only, I could see only the face of that boy who prayed for me, that man, he was student with me. And suddenly I had this great compassion, great love. Mm. I wanted just to see him and thank him. I wanted just to say something to him. You know, suddenly that, I don't know, I loved everybody. I wanted just to go and to tell everybody. And literally I later did, but...
This is the mark of the Christian, this love. And you didn't work for it. It's not something you intellectually chose. It's God in you.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. And we're getting near the end of this interview. And next week, we're going to go beyond your personal story to the story of what's happening in Iraq and how you're involved in it, Salman. But this love suddenly was in your heart. How did you feel about that?
It was strange for me. You know, I used to love my own, which means my family, my relatives, you know, friends, Muslims in general, you know, with different degrees, you know, of love, you know. But this love, it was different. I don't know. This man, suddenly he became so precious in my eyes. Not only because he prayed for me. Suddenly, you know, I think of people, even I was reminded. I mean, these things were happening very fast. Reminded of neighbors. You know, we had a Christian neighbors in Iraq, you know. And suddenly, it's just like, I don't know. One of them, his name, Walid. I love this man, you know. Before I was hating him, I'd never liked him. I was cursing them, literally. Every day when I pray, I do that, you know. Muslims, they curse you every day when they pray. Do you know that? And they curse the Jews. Their prayer, this is like this.
I didn't realize that they...
it is written there in their prayer. I can quote this prayer and tell you. They ask God to make them not like, you know, those accursed ones, which means the Jews, or those who went astray, the Christians. You know, they ask Allah every day when they pray, 13 times a day in every prayer, how long this prayer is, you know. So imagine. Wow. So I did something then. Because, you know, something happened, then you want to share it. This is love. You want to share it. You want to tell somebody.
So our time is out now. In our next week, as we air this program, we're going to continue your story of how you started to share it and how it impacted not just Iraq, but many other parts of the world. And I hope you, the listener, are being encouraged and challenged by this, because this is not just Selman's life or my life. This is your life in Christ. We'll see you next week.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.